and teach. There's got to be teaching. And when God wants to reveal his redemptive power, he does it through teaching. There's got to be a messenger for the teaching. Take your Bibles, if you would, for Romans chapter 10. God has used this very same venue throughout the creation until now. There needs to be a messenger. In Romans 10, the Bible says, beginning in verse number 14, how shall they call on him whom they've not believed? How shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel and bring glad tidings of peace. Look at verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need a messenger. And just like Naaman, he needed a messenger, and Elisha was going to be the messenger of God. I want you to go now and look at the message. Not only must there be a messenger, but there's got to be a message. And let's look at that message together in verse number 10, where the Bible says, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go. He said, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. There was a message, and the message of salvation, it says, go, and it says, wash, and there needed to be a washing. And brethren, if a man is going to be cleansed from his sin today, there needs to be a washing. And there's going to have to be a washing for a man to receive the blessings of God, and he's giving it by the messenger, and he gives it by man, to a man and by man. There wasn't any type of theatrical. There wasn't any type of mysticism. There wasn't something better felt than told. This was a message sent by a messenger, sent to a man. And brothers and sisters, if we're going to be right with God, we've got to hear the message that says, thou shall be clean. God wants you cleansed tonight. He not only wanted him cleansed from his leprosy, but I suggest to you tonight, he wants us cleansed from our sins. We need to listen to the instructions. If you want to be saved tonight, I want you to notice the lesson time. God saves when man obeys. It's a message of old. It's never changed. And from the beginning of time, the message has always been, when you obey, you'll be saved. And the instructions could not be more clear. You shall be clean. Now let's go to our next point together. Let's go to verse 11. In verse 11, we see his irritation. Let's look at it together. In verse number 11, the response, but Naaman was angry. I want you to notice his madness. Has it ever been the case that you have taught someone the gospel of Christ and the message that they gave to you or the response was anger and madness? The Bible says he was angry. Why was he angry? He was angry because the message wasn't what he wanted. The instructions weren't what he expected. And the Bible says that he was angry, he was wroth, and he went away. How foolish it is for a man to be taught what he needs to do to be cured. But instead of accepting the prescription, he turns away from the doctor and he says, the great physician, I don't want it. And he gets angry. And that's exactly what he did. It was his madness. Notice his meditation. He said, behold, I thought, if it was my Bible, I would circle that word. I thought. He begins to use human reasoning. He said, I surely thought. And so when we begin to use our human thoughts, our human expectations, do you know what happens to the redemptive plan of God? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And so we see from Scripture that when men begin to think, instead of to listen to God, when they begin to formulate their own plan, man is always led away from the living God. And the Bible teaches he was mad and he started meditating. I surely thought, now look at this, look at his method. I thought that God would surely come out and the Lord would strike his hand over the place and he would recover the leper. I surely thought there would be glitter. I thought there'd be glamour. I thought there'd be some type of excitement. I mean, surely he would just come up here and wave his hand and start a chanting and get people riled up and tell people, well, if you'll just stand up and shout the name of Jesus, and you'll jump up and down, and if you'll turn in circles, and maybe if you'll do a somersault, surely God would save this man. Look at what he wanted. He wanted a physical response. Man has been seeking this from day one. They want something physical. They want an emotional response. They want something better felt and told. But that's not what God said in the instructions. He says, go to the Jordan. I want you to go to the Jordan and wash and be clean. But in verse number 11, man's method was not God's instruction. And so we see the irritation because he wouldn't submit himself to the almighty will of God. And so his method was to call and strike, contrasting to the message of God, which said, go and wash. Now I want you to go to verse number 12. In verse number 12, we have the inquiry. And so this servant came in and said, are not Abana and Phapar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went in rage. I want you to notice just a couple of things about this text. Number one, I want you to notice about the rivers. Did you notice? Go back to verse number 10. Did anybody notice when the instructions were given, there were no rivers? God didn't mention rivers. Brethren, he mentioned the river. There was one river. It was the Jordan River. And again, as you look at man today, what they always do is seem to take the message of God and they begin to change it ever so slightly. Well, notice verse number 12. And he said, are not Abana and Phapar rivers? Rivers, there's just one river. It's the Jordan River. But today, when it comes to salvation, that's exactly what people do. Well, you know, there's several baptisms. One baptism is just as good as another. Any baptism will do. As long as you get down into the water and have some type of baptism, it'll be all right. But just like with Naaman, God never talked about baptisms. In fact, in Ephesians 4, verses 4 and 5, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's one body. Not you choose your church, I'll choose my church, we're all going to heaven. One church is just as good as another church. Any church will do. You don't find that in the scriptures. In fact, he identifies the body. In Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, it says he put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things, which is the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And just like in the days of old, when men were changing the very instructions of God, they got irritated with God. And in this inquiry to the servant, he says, are not the rivers, I'd circle that word rivers, I would like you to keep going, are they not better? Well, man always thinks his way is better. And God, I know you have your way, but I believe my way would be better. And God, I believe if you would allow me to do it my way, it'd be just as good. Brethren, I promise you that your way is never going to be better than God's way. And God's way is always going to be right. In Isaiah 1 and 18, the prophet said, come down, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, God says when man obeys, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God has been clear, abundantly clear. Reason, he says, you have options. Select your option. You can obey and eat the good of the land. You can refuse and rebel. You'll be devoured by the sword. Select your option. There's always just been two options. And God says your option is go to the Jordan, wash and be clean. But he says, oh God, I want more options. That's not the option I want. Man has been doing the very same thing since the beginning of time. Notice his request. He wanted an alternate path. Have you ever heard someone said, well, God, he'll find a way for me. And there'll be a special entrance. Everyone believes they're special when it comes to God. And they don't have to listen to him. And notice once again, the Bible says in verse number 2, he turned away in rage. Twice it's been mentioned that when the truth of God was spoken, instead of being humble and repenting and submitting themselves to the plan of God, instead you get mad. Brother, you can get mad all you want, but you're not going to change the plan of God. You know, you can go to that doctor. He can give you a prescription. You can get mad, but you're not going to change the diagnosis. Your anger is not going to change the prescription. You know, you can travel along the road and maybe you're going along and all of a sudden, because of the forces of gravity, and you end up maybe tumbling down a cliff. And you get mad at gravity, and you get upset and angry with gravity. Brethren, it's still going to be there. Your feelings about gravity aren't going to change gravity. And so our feelings about the instructions of God are not going to change the instruction of God. And so let's go back to our text, verse number 13. Notice the influence. And his servant, isn't it interesting? You go back to 1 Kings, 2 Kings 5, and you look at verse 2, and that maid, the influence of the maid. And now, it's not Elisha. God doesn't need a prominent man. He doesn't need an elite figure. God doesn't need to send the great prophet. God sends another servant. And in this servant, notice what the Bible says. And the servant came near and spake unto him and said, my father. God uses servants. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be an elder. Brethren, let's be a servant of the Most High God. All we need today are men and women willing to serve and be faithful to the instructions. And he says, verse 13, and the servant came and spake to him, said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? And the prophet said, I need you to go and defeat the armies of the west or the east. I need you to assemble an army, and I want you to go to war, and I want you to bring me back a silver and gold. Would you have done it? But I want you to, he says, if the prophet had bid thee to do a great thing, you would have done it. But look at what he said. But rather to be washed and be clean. Look at the simplicity. Brother, may I suggest to you tonight that God has always been simple? God saves when man obeys. It's not complicated. In 1 Corinthians 14, 33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all the churches of the saints. He's never required us to have some type of theologic discussion in order to understand the truth. You don't have to be some scholar. Brother, we don't have to go to Spurgeon to understand the scriptures. It is not difficult. It's a simple message. The message is as old as man. Since the Garden of Eden, God's instructions have been very simple. There's a tree in the garden. Don't eat it. You can eat any tree but the tree of the knowledge and good and evil. Don't eat that tree. Those simple instructions. But yet how quickly, as we read through the text of Genesis 3, the great deceiver took the instructions of God and did exactly what he's doing here. Brother, never underestimate your adversary. In John 8:44, the Bible says he's a father of all lies. And the Bible says in Genesis 3:6, he's the great deceiver. He's been deceiving since the beginning of time. And he's doing the same thing here. He's trying to take the simple instructions of God and muddy the water. And oh, how he loves to muddy the water. Notice what the Bible says here. He says, verse number 13. It's simple. Wash and be clean. You know, man tries to reason sometimes away from the very message of God. Remember what he says in verse number 12, are not Abana or Far, but you know, those rivers are so much cleaner. They're so much closer. God, they're, you know, it really, you just don't have to go to the Jordan, that old dirty, muddy river. You know, and our rivers over here are just a lot better. We're just more comfortable over here, God. You know, one river is just as good as another river. You know, in my way of thinking, it's just long as you just have a river, you're going to be okay. Man has always tried to dabble and change the instructions of God. Let's go down to verse 14. All right, we're down here. Let's look at how simple the solution is. In verse 14, then went he down. I'd circle that word if it was me. He went down. Let's look at his outlook. He was going down. Brother, you got to go down. In Ephesians chapter, in Acts chapter 8, verses 34, 35, 36 through 39, there Philip, the evangelist, meets a man by the name of, which he's called the eunuch. And he preaches unto him Jesus, and as he's teaching him from the scroll of from Isaiah, and he stopped him, and he said, well, I see water. What does hinder me to be baptized? He said, thou believest, thou mayest. He said, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And at that very moment, the chariot stood still. They went down both into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch, he went down into the water. Notice his outlook. He had to go down just like the eunuch had to go down. And brethren, if you don't follow God, don't expect to receive his blessings, and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan. Let's see if we can reenact this just for a minute. Notice his obedience. So he comes to the Jordan River. He is now approaching the river. He comes to put himself in the river. He goes down into the river. He goes down and dips himself. He comes up. He looks at his leprosy and he sees no difference. He says, well, this isn't working. He says, there's no change. He's making a fool out of me. I can see nothing out of it. So he dips again. He says, well, this is a waste of time. He said, this servant, he's trying to make a mockery of great Naaman. And so then he says, well, I'm not doing this. He says, This is a trick. This is to make me look bad. And he leaves. Brother, he goes down once and there's no difference. He goes down twice and there's no difference. He goes down a third time and there's no difference. He goes down a fourth time, a fifth time, a sixth time. Brethren, God saves when man obeys. You're not going to receive the blessings of God until you do what God says. Take your Bibles to Genesis. I want you to look at something with me. Oh, how significant these little verses can be. Genesis chapter 6. I want you to go down to verse number 22. It's the last verse of Genesis 6, and I want you to notice what God said of Noah. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so he did. I will submit to this audience tonight that partial obedience is complete disobedience. You cannot partially obey God. When you don't do what God says, dear friends, and you begin to take away or add to the instructions of God, may we forever heed the warnings. Add thou not unto my words, lest thou be found a liar, and the truth will not be in thee. Proverbs 30:6. In Revelation 22:18-19, I testify to every man that reads and hears the prophecy of this book. If any man take away from these words, I will take away his name from the book of life, from the things written in the book. If any man add to these words, I will add his name. I will add him to the plagues that are written in the book. When we begin to alter and change the commands of God, your partial obedience might as well be complete disobedience. You don't get points for second place. There are no points for six dips. And the Bible says in 2 Kings, go back to our text, and let's notice his obedience. And the Bible says he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan according to the saying he obeyed, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came to him like the flesh of a little child. Brother, can you imagine this evening if we would just listen to God? How much better this world would be. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, how difficult is that? You know, if I were to say tonight, he that believes and is baptized gets a brand new Ford Mustang, I wonder how many people would misunderstand. I mean, you advertise that in a local newspaper, and you say, he that believes and is baptized gets a brand new Ford F-150. Brethren, you think anyone would misunderstand? You think there'd be anybody arrive at your church building and say, you know, I'm here to believe, and give me the truck, and I'll be baptized next week? There wouldn't be a man who misunderstood. Sometimes when we just take it back to the simple. What if I said this? He that eats and digests shall live, and he that eats not shall die. Can anybody misunderstand that? I mean, you have to eat, and you digest, and you live. And everybody understands the value of eating. And we understand what happens when we don't eat. He that eats not shall die. Someone said, well, preacher, it doesn't say if you don't digest. No one says that. Because if you don't eat, you're not digested. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. You know why it doesn't say he that believeth not and is not baptized? Because you can't baptize someone who doesn't believe.
Right.
You can't take a person who doesn't believe and baptize them, because we only baptize believing folks. You've got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's simple. His message has always been simple. God saves when man obeys. Let's go to verse number 14. And his flesh became as a little child, and he was clean. Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Your soul will be washed in the blood of the Lamb, cleansed as though a little child. Your sins are washed away, and God, by his power and through the blood of his Son, he will wash away your sins, and he saves when you obey. He doesn't save you when you say, well, Jesus, I just love you, and I just want to pray into my heart, and I want you to be my Savior. Brethren, you're not obeying what Jesus said. You're not going to receive the remission of sins until you repent and you're baptized. And because God saves when man obeys, now you might not like it. You may get upset. And you may leave this place tonight and say, I don't like what the preacher said. And I don't agree with the preacher. Brethren, whether or not you like what the preacher said doesn't change what the message says.
Right.
The only way, dear friends, you're going to receive the blessing of God is going to be to obey the word of God. And it's the word of God that says, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. It's the message of God that says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. It's the message of God that says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. I want you to notice something else. I want you to go to verse 15. As we close out our lesson together, I want you to look at verse number 15. And the Bible says, he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. And he came and stood before him. Now notice what he said. Behold, now I know. I wonder in the day of judgment. I wonder how many people are going to stand before the God of heaven and earth, and they're going to remember what the preacher said. They're going to remember the sermons they heard. They're going to remember the words that were spoken. They're going to remember the scriptures they read. They're going to know the prayers that were offered. They're going to know the love of their church family who pleads and begs. And the Bible says now he knows. You know why he knows? Because he obeyed. Because God saves when man obeys. And you're going to go before the God of heaven and earth and say, oh, I thought. God, I just thought, you know, if I said that prayer and I said just to praise Jesus and Jesus come into my heart and be my personal Savior, that I would be saved from I just thought if I'd say that prayer, I thought if I would come down and give a testimony. And I just thought if I came down and did an altar call. I thought if I just came down here and I just made this religious statement that I would be saved. Isn't it interesting and I don't think accidental nor coincidental, then in verse number, if you go back to verse number 10 and 11, but Naaman was wroth and he went away and said, behold, I thought. The last thing we need today is to substitute the thinking of man for the thinking of God. What we need to do is listen to the word of God. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the power of the gospel, for it is, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to save. Brother, we need to listen to the word of God. In fact, through thy precepts I gain understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And so there are a lot of people today that are thinking they're saved. They think they've done what God says. Brother, there's a day coming. There's a day coming in verse number 15 where people are going to know, but you don't have to wait till it's too late. You don't have to wait until there's a day that you can't change, because he knew, because he had done what God had said. God saves when man obeys. It's a simple message. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered. And being then made perfect, he became the author. Now listen to this. He became the author of eternal salvation to those that obey him. I want you to go back to verse 8. I think this is a powerful passage. It's a passage you don't want to miss. Though he were a son. Jesus was a son of privilege. There's no one that can claim tonight they're the son of God. If there is ever a son of privilege, it's Jesus. He could look back and he could say, the Father, Jehovah, Elohim, he is my Father. No one can say that today. You know, sometimes a family can have a son born to influence. And we might say they're born with a silver spoon in their mouth. You know, they get all the perks. And maybe their father was very successful. Maybe he's very powerful. Maybe very influential, very wealthy. And because of that, he doesn't have to go through the school of hard knocks. He's kind of given those things. But though he were a son, but though he had God as his own father, learned he obedience by the things he suffered. So the son willingly suffered. He willingly submitted. He didn't have to go through that, but he did. He chose rather, instead of inheriting, instead of using his lineage, if you will, instead of using the father's blessings, he chose to live as a man. Philippians 2 and verse 5. He humbled himself. He came in the form of not a king. He came in the form not of a powerful politician. He came in the form not of a wealthy man. He came in the form of a servant made in the likeness of men. And the Bible says, though he were a son, he was a son. He chose the humiliation of the cross. He became subject to that which he did not deserve. He took upon himself the sins of us. Romans Bible says, God commendeth his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 and verse 8. And though we were a son, you learned the obedience by the things that he suffered. And being then made perfect, he willingly became the author. He chose this. He chose it for you, and he chose it for me. He chose to become the author by those that obey him. He chose to die. He chose to suffer, and he didn't have to. But he obeyed. I have a question for you tonight. As the father looked at the son, can't you imagine the pain? Can't you imagine the difficulty of watching him die for sins that were not his own? Can you imagine the thought of, as they spit upon him, Can you imagine as he put the crown of thorns on his head? Can you imagine as he took the stripes one after another? Can you imagine as he carried his cross? Can you imagine as they put him in Golgotha, the place of the skull, and they drove the nails? Can you imagine the humiliation he suffered? And they're watching, though he were a son. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And being then made perfect, he became the author of eternal life to as many as obey. I can't help but think he could have cried out and he'd say, Father, save me from the cross. Father, stop this pain. Father, destroy these Romans and these Jews who are inflicting me. But he didn't. No exception was made. No alternative path was given. He didn't invoke the sonship of privilege. Brethren, if the Father didn't make an exception for his own son, if his own son had to obey, if his own son had to learn the lessons that God says when man obeys, why do you think it's going to be any different for you? If he wouldn't make an exception for his own son, he's not going to make an exception for you. The only way tonight for you to be saved is to do what God says. It's a lesson that goes back to the Garden of Eden. It's a lesson so clearly seen in 2 Kings 5. God saves when man obeys. And we're calling upon the world to hear the simple message, to hear the instructions. Don't get irritated. Your anger won't change it. We understand that there may be questions that you ask, but listen to the influence of those who represent the mighty Word of God. We ask you to submit yourself in immersion, even tonight. It's a message that we can give to the world. It's a message that's very simple. 2 Corinthians 11 and 3. Be careful, for Satan is always seeking to influence us and to take us away from the simplicity of the gospel. The gospel isn't that hard. Know ye not that so many of us have been baptized into Jesus Christ, have been baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death. That like as Christ was raised again by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. If you've been planted together in the likeness of his death, you got to be immersed. So shall you also be planted in the likeness of his resurrection, God says, when man obeys. Preach it, Patrick. Teach it. Use the illustration. Those Old Testament accounts were given for our learning that through patience and the comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. Thank you for being here tonight.